CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here's your host, Katie Comley.
Good evening. Coming up on the program, striking forestry workers in BC have reached a deal, leaving some union members dissatisfied. And after a long absence, Vancouver libraries will open their doors Wednesday. We'll have all this, plus sports and your five-day weather forecast coming up this half hour right here on News 101. A former UBC Thunderbird student is making UBC proud as he is the first pitcher to lead the Colorado Rockies to the World Series. 26-year-old Jeff Francis hails from North Delta, and he was a UBC student from 1999 to 2002. Francis chose to stay in his home country rather than transferring to an American university, where players have a better chance of being drafted into the Major League Baseball. While here, Francis studied physics and astronomy and managed to rewrite pitching records. Jeff is now featured on the front page of Sports Illustrated magazine. The Globe and Mail recently called him the best pitcher on what is the best baseball team in the league. Aside from being called the best pitcher, Jeff is also being credited as helping to encourage young Canadian kids to stay in Canada for university and still get recruited to play pro baseball. Terry McKeag, UBC's baseball coach, says Jeff's legacy has helped to recruit good baseball players here at UBC from all across North America. While here, Jeff Francis was a regular participant of a program called I'm Going to UBC, which pairs varsity athletes with inner-city kids for campus tours and Thunderbirds athletics games. The volunteer program aims to help kids who may see university as out of reach to believe that they can become UBC students. Francis was selected by the Colorado Rockies in 2002. Since then, 10 other UBC players have been drafted to professional sports teams. He said he is proud to be from Canada and happy to make people back home so proud. Now with a look at other local news, here are Tracy Fuller and Leanne Yu.
Vancouver's public libraries will open their doors on Wednesday after a 12-week strike. Employees were already hard at work this morning preparing for the public opening. City librarian Paul Whitney says the two-day head start is necessary to sort and process the high volume of library materials across the city's 22 branches. QP 391 president Alexandra Youngberg says union members had mixed feelings about returning to work. She adds while members are eager to resume their duties, their fight against gender discrimination will live on. Last Friday, 71% of union members voted in favor of an agreement based on mediator Brian Foley's recommendations. The issue of pay equity was not addressed in the agreement. However, the union won their fight for a 17.5% pay increase over the next 5 years. Workers will also receive a $1,000 signing bonus. Patrons who have library books at home will not have to worry about being charged late fees.
It's no surprise businesses along the Canada line have been losing money, but a new survey has determined exactly how much. According to the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, establishments affected by the line's construction have lost an average of about $112,000 so far. CFIB spokesperson Laura Jones says the suffering doesn't end with the owners. Small businesses in Yale Town and along Cambie Street have laid off an average of 2.8 employees. Jones points out this means job losses are numbering in the hundreds. She adds the findings strengthen the argument made by affected businesses that they should be compensated for their losses. Trade for these companies has been disrupted due to construction and barricades around their shops. Losses occur despite government advertising campaigns encouraging consumers to shop the line.
The first seats of the 2010 Olympics opening ceremonies will be granted to winners of a BC Lottery scratch and win game. The British Columbia Lottery Corporation will give out 100 pairs of opening ceremony tickets as prizes in its $5 sports funder game. The BCLC is an Olympic sponsor and therefore is entitled to buy an allotment of tickets to the Olympic events. Royalties from Sports Funder will go towards funding the BCLC's $15 million sponsorship commitment to VanOck. Game proceeds, however, will go to amateur sports organizations such as Kidsport and Team BC. VanOck CEO John Furlong says this is a good example of how an Olympic partner may purchase from an allotment of tickets, but the tickets ultimately end up in the hands of the public.
Impact, the Integrated Municipal Provincial Auto Crime Team, says more women are arrested for auto thefts than men. Impact believes this is a first. In early October, the city of Surrey saw a surge in vehicle thefts. The crime unit worked the streets this week in hopes of getting 175 stolen vehicles back to their owners. Of last week's arrests alone, 4 suspects were women and 2 were men. Between them, 5 vehicles were recovered in a span of 3 days.
Starting next spring, UBC will begin offering degrees in cell and developmental biology. The new interdisciplinary master's and PhD programs will draw professors and resources from a range of existing faculties, including medicine and botany. The cutting-edge field looks at how cells function and change and can be used to help understand a number of different health problems, including diabetes and stroke. Graduates from the program will be able to work in either academic or practical settings. The new programs must still be approved by the BC provincial government before enrollment may begin. Since 2003, UBC has approved 150 new undergraduate and graduate degree programs.
Striking forestry workers in this province approved a new contract by a slim margin this week. The 6,000 members of United Steelworkers Union voted 51% in favor of a deal with Forest Industrial Relations, which represents employers from 31 different logging companies. A spokesman for Forest Industrial Relations said that the companies were eager to end the walkout, which began on July 21st. The length of the strike was a contributing factor which led the companies to give the workers concessions on shift scheduling, which was the main issue in the strike. Forestry workers from 3 other lumber companies, Timber West, Island Timberland, and International Forest Products, remain on strike. It's time for a quick break, but stay tuned to CITR for more news following these public service announcements.
Courtney, can I get an interview with you?
No, I hate your guts, Nardwar. You're such an idiot. Why would I give you an interview? You're an idiot. Why would I give you a f***ing interview? Get what?
CITR 101.9 FM presents Nardwar the Human Serviette Radio Show. 20-hour, 20-year anniversary interview marathon. 9 p.m. Thursday, November 1st, on to 5 p.m. Friday, November 2nd.
Nardwar will be celebrating the 20th anniversary of his radio show on CITR with a 20-hour live on-air Nardwar interview marathon, starting at 9 p.m. on Thursday, November 1st, and ending at 5 p.m. on Friday, November 2nd.
Interviews to be aired during the 24-hour marathon include
Robert Anton Wilson, Ron Jeremy,
Nina Pagan, Arlen Ellison, Harry Rollins, Ice, 9 p.m.
Thursday, November 1st to 5 p.m. Friday, November 2nd.
Nardwar the Human Serviette Radio Show's 20-hour, 20-year anniversary interview marathon. Presented by CITR 101.9 FM.
On Sunday, October 28, 2007, at 3 p.m., Kokoro Dance will present Heart, Mind, Spirit, and Soul. Critically acclaimed Kokoro Dance combines kinetic and visual elements from Japan and the West to create a uniquely Canadian Buto aesthetic. The company has produced over 900 performances and created more than 150 dance works that have been performed across Canada, in the United States, and in Europe. With Carolyn Chan and Holly Holt, this concert is presented as the second in our Sunday series of 3 dance and music performances entitled Stimulating the Senses, Music and Movement at MOA. That's Kokoro Dance performing Heart, Mind, Spirit and Soul on Sunday, October 28th at 3 p.m. For more information, please visit www.moa.ubc.ca.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:15. The BC and federal governments have struck a deal with 4 Vancouver Island First Nations communities. With more on that and other stories, we're joined in studio by News 101 reporters Rita Farkas and Carrie Baptist.
Over the weekend, 4 Vancouver Island First Nations voted in favor of a treaty settlement with the provincial and federal governments. The Yukulit, Tokat, Yukushlat, a and Keokuk First Nations join the Huya. Excuse me, Huyat First Nation, which had previously approved the Manulth Treaty. Excuse me. The agreement gives the First Nation $73 million initial capital transfer, as well as annual resource royalty payments and 245 square kilometers.
Of land on the west coast of Vancouver Island. The treaty must be ratified by the provincial and federal governments before taking effect. The Manulth Agreement follows closely on the heels of the Tsawwassen Treaty, which was recently ratified by the province. In other news, Jane Stirk has been chosen as the new leader of the Provincial Green Party. At a party convention over the weekend, Stirk beat out four other candidates to replace former party leader Adrienne Carr. Carr led the party from 2000 until she stepped down last January to run federally. Stirk says she's honored the party elected her leader, and she plans to make the party a competitive political force ahead of the 2009 election. However, the Esquimalt city councillor will face a difficult battle in the next provincial elections as she attempts to lead the party to an electoral breakthrough by winning the Greens a seat in the provincial legislature. Sure.
And Liberal leader Stéphane Dion has a difficult weekend ahead of him in the House of Commons. Prime Minister Stephen Harper is set to introduce key portions of last Tuesday's throne speech through a series of debates, with the entire speech to go to a vote Wednesday evening. The debates were arranged by the Conservatives to point out the Liberals' inability to stop the throne speech initiatives from being implemented. Dion has stated that the Liberals will not oppose the speech outright, as they hope to avoid an election which they would likely lose. Instead, Dion says the party plans to oppose individual pieces of legislation as they are introduced, with one possibility being the Conservatives' abandonment of the Kyoto Accord. University of Calgary political scientist and former advisor to the Prime Minister, Tom Flanagan, says that Harper has managed to put Dion into what he calls an unenviable position. He says that the Liberals allow the throne speech to pass. The party will look weak, but if they vote against the speech and force an election, they will look stupid instead.
UN Human Rights Commissioner and former Supreme Court Justice Louise Arbour is lashing out at the federal government, saying that she is profoundly disappointed by the position taken by Canada on the issue of Aboriginal rights. Last month, the UN General Assembly voted to ratify the Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which passed by a margin of 134-4. The four countries who voted against the legislation, the US, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, all have substantial Indigenous populations. Arbour says that while Canadians cling to an unduly romantic vision of ourselves as a nation of international peacekeepers, that image is outdated and does not reflect our contemporary position. Arbour spoke today at a conference organized by the Canadian Human Rights Commission. Justice Minister Rob Nicholson was in attendance, did not comment to the media as he left the conference room.
And in international news, a study in Britain has found that swearing in the workplace can help employees deal with stress and boost morale. Professor of Management Yehuda Baruch says that according to the results, swearing was seen as a social phenomenon to reflect solidarity and enhance group cohesiveness. The report also stated that profanity amongst the subjects did not take place in front of or around customers, but privately among staff. The issue seems to be whether or not those in management positions should deliberately allow swearing on the job. The study suggests that although punishing staff for cussing might seem like a good idea, it would remove the sense of solidarity among workers. Baruch is quick to point out abusive and offensive profanity should not be tolerated, as it increases stress instead of relieving it. Results of the study can be found in the current issue of the Leadership and Organization Journal. It's time for another break, but there's still much more to come on News 101. When we come back, Tyler Noble will tell us what's happening in UBC Athletics. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Are you tired of not hearing live music bands or hearing really bad ones playing at local hotspots?
Head out to Shindig, a music pleasure event presented by CITR 101.9 Vancouver Radio.
It's the hottest band event of the year, with a hand-picked fresh variety of music for your tired little ears.
The event will be held every Tuesday until December 4th at the Railway Club, located at 579 Dunsmuir Street on the corner at Seymour. Show starts at 9:30 p.m. God Chosen bands playing this week include
Fanshawe, The Noble Fuzz, and The Public or the Press.
Bring your own band sporting t-shirts.
Some of our sponsors include the Railway Club, Vaudeville Studios, Mint Records, Scratch Records, The Hive Recording Studios, Backline Musician Services, Zulu Records, CITR, Thunderbird Radio Health, Discorder, Canadian Music Week, Vader Master Studios, and Bandmerk Canada.
Want to know what's going on around town? LiveMusicVancouver.com is the Lower Mainland's comprehensive source for live music listings. We've got more than 350 shows listed at any time, and our listings are updated continuously by hundreds of the very people who put on the shows you love. Artist information and MP3s are accessible right from the listings, as are maps and calendars for virtually every venue in the city. All this and tons more totally free at LiveMusicVancouver.com.
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Nardwar the Human Serviette. And everybody probably already knows that, right?
Man, you are out of it. You really are out of it.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Timothy Leary. And
welcome to my castle. Welcome to my castle.
On November 2nd at 7:19 p.m. at the Sub Ballroom, come celebrate Nardwar the Human Serviette's 20th anniversary at a free, all-ages anniversary gig with his band, The Evaporators.
For those who like to drink, there'll be a beer garden set up separately from the show.
Also playing will be local power pop sensations The Transmitters, the dual female blast of the Pack AD, and the tasty accordion stylings of Kid Cordine.
That's the Sub Ballroom, 6138 Sub Boulevard on the UBC campus, November 2nd at 7:19 p.m. sharp. Come and get evaporated.
And welcome back to News 101 on CITR. I'm Katie Comley, coming to you live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. Right now, it's 5:23, and just before we go to Thunderbird Eidon Sports, I'd just like to issue a little bit of a retraction. I want to apologize on behalf of News 101 to the four Vancouver Island First Nations bands that we mentioned in our earlier provincial story. The names were very difficult, and we had a little bit of trouble pronouncing them, but we got the message of the story through nonetheless. But anyways, we apologize for messing up your names. Right now, it is 5:23, and it's time for a look back at the past weekend in UBC Athletics. So here is Tyler Noble with Thunderbird Ion Sports.
And thank you, Katie. Despite a 1-0 loss to the Regina Cougars on Friday, the UBC men's hockey team bounced back Saturday night with a come-from-behind 3-2 overtime victory to split the weekend set. The Birds trailed 2-1 after 2 and were pressing hard for the equalizer throughout the third period, but a power play that went just 1-for-12 on the night did little to generate quality scoring chances. But with just under 4 minutes to go in regulation, Daryl May slotted the puck past Regina goalie Brant Hilton, giving new life to the Thunderbirds heading into overtime. And that momentum paid off just a minute into the extra frame.
Good move by Bilson, and here he comes. Big Bilson, number 17, wrists one on net. Good save. Here's a chance for Zanin, and he shoots again. Another chance. Shot. Good save by Hilton. Clear sprawling everywhere. Wrap around the net. They score!
CITR's Mike Wall with the call as Mark Deloge finds the back of the net during a frantic scramble around the Cougars' goal to give UBC its fourth win in six games so far this season. Jerry Festa made 23 saves in the winning cause, including a game saver in the second period when a UBC turnover on the power play sprung a Regina penalty killer on a clear breakaway that could have put the visitors up 3-0 at that point. The Birds are in Calgary this weekend for games against the Dinos on Friday and Saturday night. The women's hockey team was off last week in what is likely much-needed time to regroup after an 0-4 start to the season. UBC hosts Manitoba this weekend at the Winter Sports Center with puck drop at 7:30 p.m. on both Friday and Saturday. Also enjoying a bye this past week was the UBC football team, which now finds itself in a do-or-die situation heading into their final game of the regular season Friday night. The 3-4 Thunderbirds will square off against the Calgary Dinos, who also sport a 3-4 record and sit tied with UBC for the fourth and final playoff spot in the Canada West. The winner will move on to face the Manitoba Bisons in one of two Canada West semifinal matchups on November 3rd. Manitoba has already locked up top spot after winning all seven of their games so far this season, including two against UBC, the most recent of which coming October 13th in Winnipeg. Now, the bye week couldn't have come at a better time for the Thunderbirds, who have been decimated by injuries to key players like quarterback Doug Goldsby and receiver Darren Wilson. Both hope to return to action this week. And, of course, we'll have Friday's big showdown from McMahon Stadium right here on CITR beginning at 6 o'clock. Our pregame show gets going at 5:45, immediately following News 101. The UBC women's basketball team wrapped up its preseason with a pair of games at War Memorial Gym on Friday and Saturday night. The Lady Birds got 40 points from its bench Friday in a 71-62 victory over the McMaster Marauders, while following that up with a 71-52 win over UNB the following evening. Leanne Evans picked up 14 points and 13 boards against the Marauders for her third double-double of the preseason, while returning senior Julie Little and second-year guard Devin Lisson each chipped in 8 points. Then on Saturday, the Birds went on a 16-0 run in the first half to jump out to a 44-23 halftime lead over UNB before cruising to an easy 71-52 victory. UBC opens conference play at home this Thursday night against Trinity Western, a game you can catch right here on CITR beginning at 6 o'clock. The men's basketball team also plays host to Trinity Western on Thursday to open their regular season. This after an 85-74 come-from-behind win over the Toronto Varsity Blues on Friday afternoon. Daryl Wiener and Doug Richards will have the call of that one here on CITR immediately following the women's game. Despite losing their final conference game to Alberta yesterday, the UBC women's field hockey team still has plenty to be excited about heading into the playoffs. Not only was Laura Dowling named Canada West Player of the Year, the Birds will also head to Toronto to defend their CIS title after finishing the regular season with only 2 losses in 12 games played. Both of those defeats came at the hands of the Pandas, who beat UBC 2-0 yesterday in a rematch of Saturday's 3-1 decision in favor of the Thunderbirds. Yesterday's result was inconsequential for UBC, having already locked up top spot in the Canada West. Instead, the Birds used the opportunity to get some of their younger talent extra playing time in advance of the Nationals, which get going November 1st. Head coach Hash Kanji says adjustments will be necessary heading into the tournament, as the games there will be played on a longer field with a field turf surface, much different from UBC's right field. The UBC women's soccer team recorded 2 massive wins over the weekend. They scored 9 times in a shutout of Regina on Saturday and followed that up with a 6-goal win over second-place Manitoba yesterday. Wilson Wong has more.
This week started with some bad news for the UBC women's soccer team. 4 players were injured Wednesday in their 1-0 exhibition win over Simon Fraser. Of the 4, only Chelsea Stang played against Regina, but there was no need to rush as UBC crushed the Cougars. The Thunderbirds dominated possession, winning most of the balls in the air and on the ground. Regina didn't get past midfield for minutes at a time. Offensively, there were many stars. Kirsten Zoller scored 4 goals, 3 in the first half. In the second, Janine Kerr recorded a hat-trick of her own. Throw-in goals by Caitlin Davey and Sarah Trillar, and you've got a 9-0 game. Kerr says her team didn't miss a beat, even with so many players injured.
We all know the depth that we have on this team, and I think we all feel really confident in all the players coming in off the bench. So, I mean, it's nice to give other players a run as well.
Goalie Jackie Dunnett recovered enough from a broken nose to be back in the lineup yesterday against Manitoba. Kelly Isberg opened the scoring in the first half for UBC. Then the Thunderbirds put 5 into the Bison's net in the second. Zoller scored once, Kerr twice. Both ended up with 6 goals on the weekend. Davey and Natalie Hirayama also scored. Coach Dick Mosier says his team is rounding into form as the playoffs approach.
You know, we're defending well. We're starting to counter much better. We're using the flanks and getting quality crosses in now. Our finish obviously came up today, and finish was pretty good. So most of the elements of the game, I think, are that we've been focusing on, you know, are pretty well there, as good as they're going to be going into playoffs.
UBC has clinched at least a tie for first place with 2 games to go. The top team in the Canada West will host the conference playoffs. Wilson Wong, CITR Sports, Vancouver.
In men's soccer, UBC's Nick Poole scored 2 goals in less than 2 minutes midway through the second half as the Thunderbirds defeated the Fraser Valley Cascades 4-1 in Abbotsford Saturday. After a 4-1 loss to Trinity Western on Friday night, a performance coach Mike Mosier described as frightful, the Birds showed a lot more character against UCFV. Rookie Jorge Engalmira scored the 3-0 goal, while Nico Marcina rounded out the scoring off a corner kick late in the second half. At 5-5-2, the Birds' record is good enough for second in the Canada West right now, but just 3 points separate second from sixth. The top 4 make the postseason Final 4 at Trinity Western, and UBC has an automatic berth into the CIS Championship regardless. After their second-place finish at SFU's West Coast Classic Tournament earlier this month, the UBC women's volleyball team opens conference play against the Clan Wednesday night at War Memorial Gym. The Lady Birds were 6-2 against Canada West opponents in the preseason and are looking to improve upon their disappointing first-round playoff exit to Calgary last season. UBC also hosts Winnipeg on Friday, a game which can be heard on our website citr.ca beginning at 6 o'clock. Winnipeg's men's volleyball team is also visiting UBC on Friday night. The defending national champion Westman take on a UBC team which went 7-3 in their preseason. After going 3-1 to win the Thunderball tournament 2 weeks ago, UBC traveled to the University of Hawaii this past weekend and split their four matches with the Warriors. UBC dropped the first one Friday night in four sets before bouncing back to win in four in the second half of the doubleheader. The teams also exchanged victories on Saturday, with UBC falling three straight in the first match before taking the second in four sets, thanks in part to 20 kills from senior right side Andrew Bonner. First serve between UBC and Winnipeg goes Friday night just after 8 o'clock, and you can hear a webcast of that match at CITR.ca, just like the women's game right before. So once again, we have extensive coverage of UBC athletics coming up this weekend here on CITR, beginning with the basketball openers against Trinity Western on Thursday night, football from Calgary Friday night, as well as volleyball webcast from War Memorial Gym. And then on Saturday, we'll be up at SFU for basketball between the Clan and Thunderbirds in what will be the first of three meetings between the schools for both the men's side and the women's. And that does it for this edition of Thunderbird Eye. For CITR Sports, I'm Tyler Noble.
Thanks for that, Tyler. And we wrap up tonight with our meteorologist, Selena Ferris, and your five-day weather forecast. Selena?
Well, it looks like we'll finally be getting a break from all this rain. High pressure developing over the region will be deflecting the incoming storm systems further north. Tomorrow we'll see a mix of sun and cloud, followed by some scattered showers on Wednesday. The remainder of the week should clear up, so look for sunny skies Thursday and Friday. That's your weekday weather brought to you by the Storm Club at UBC. For more information, you can email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Back to you, Katie.
Thanks, Selena. And that's our program for October 22nd, 2007. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. And if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email us at news@citr.ca. Megan Turcotto produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, this is Katie Comley thanking you for listening. Stay tuned for Wings coming up next on 101.9 FM, CITR.